Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
We are now, though. I just pressed record. You happy?
All right. Hey, you know what? Now that the 3-hour difference is happening, that's a later night for Patrick.
I know. I forgot. Careful. I forgot till I was texting you. I was like, oh, wait, we're 3 hours different now. Yeah. The joys of living in Arizona.
My old man brain was sitting there trying to do the math. And I was like, wait, no, aren't I only 2 hours? I was like, I sprang forward. Should I be closer to his time? And then I was like, wait, no.
No, you went further ahead for my time.
That's not how it works.
It is weird. I was smart enough now where I've learned over the years, especially in a job where I interact with people all over the country, to set up many of the appointments on my calendar in Pacific time from the beginning so that every time this happens, I have to make some adjustments. And this time I only had to make like 2 adjustments to recurring meetings on my calendar, which was nice because there have been times where I've had to adjust like 90% of my calendar. I'm also in a role now where I schedule less meetings and more meetings just get placed on my calendar. So that's also a pain. It's also hard too, because, but then I can't cancel those meetings. Like I can cancel them, but then I got to email or message somebody like, hey, can you delete this meeting? So that's also kind of a pain. Like I wish I just set up the meetings and then I could just remove them if I have to. So first world problems indeed.
Right. Oh man.
That's true,
I'm just gonna put this out there now. By the way,
put it out there now.
Our streak will end at 2 if we do a show next week.
Okay, our streak will end at 2
because week 3 I am chaperoning the Little O'Dowd's 8th grade Washington D.C. trip.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, we talked about that.
And so I get to.
Patrick O'Dowd froze. No, he's back.
Because I had to go to this like chaperone. Oh, it didn't freeze on my end. That was weird. You didn't even stop moving on my end.
Yeah, you did on my end for briefly. But
So we had to do one of those like chaperone meetings, and these teachers are like, okay, this is going to be this big deal. You're going to have to monitor these children, blah, blah, blah. Here's your assigned group. It's 5 kids. It's five. 8th grade boys. But it's 5 8th grade boys. The weekend before this meeting, I chaperoned a bus of 48 college students in Boston, where I said, go explore Boston and come back by 4.
I once had to chaperone a group for the wife when she was teaching, and it was a group of middle school students. And my group was like 4 or 5 kids. I don't remember.
Right.
All I remember is there was some scavenger hunt or something we had to do, and one kid was in charge of the sheet, and he lost the sheet. Like,
oh no!
Because all I remember is like when he lost it, I just remember looking at him being like, "You had one job." Like I told this kid, I was like, "You had one job." So yeah.
It was
good shit.
I've never been.
You never been where? I don't know. You keep freezing.
I've never been to DC. I don't get it. I am showing a strong internet connection.
I am too. But yeah, the first time you froze while you were doing something, because you had like reached over and then you froze in that mode. The second time you froze, just froze. So I don't know. We'll figure it out.
If I need to get the AirPods out.
And no, I don't think you do. No. We're just gonna start the show.
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All night long.
It's Pastoral Down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brenda Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
We are back. We are podcasting after, well, the show has had 2 weeks off. We have had 3 weeks off because I did a solo show.
You did a
show.
Solo show.
I did one solo show. I did not do the other solo show because I was too busy getting ready for a wrestling event.
Exactly. No pop.
And it was good. It was all good and fine, but we are back. Patrick O'Dowd is back for a couple weeks, as you heard during the pre-show. Last week we missed. It was actually Patrick's fault, which doesn't always happen. He was sick. It's hard to say fault when a human being is sick, but it was his fault.
And I'll warn you now, I still have a lingering cough.
So if you're listening, take your vitamins because sickness is contagious over podcasts. So just make sure that you're okay.
It's for the benefit of the listener and to warn you that, like, I may hack up a lung.
Mute
myself. I'm trying to be polite to the masses, all five listeners.
If that happens, like, it might actually be entertaining. So we will, we'll take it.
It's been a rough couple of days at work because we're interviewing students for fall jobs.
Okay.
You're playing fucking music.
Because no one cares that you're interviewing people. Like, no one cares.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm trying to have these days where, like, you have to talk the whole damn time.
You know,
And coughing's been an issue.
Coughing has been an issue. I get it. I do get that, actually.
No, it's fine. 100%. You don't give a shit about me. You don't care about my well-being anymore.
I care about you.
Too busy the listeners with your celebrity don't. Wrestling friends.
I mean, I guess you could consider her a celebrity. Like, I think so. She wished you were there.
I mean, that's sweet. I couldn't be there.
Yeah, like she wanted you to be there.
The mouse took precedent.
Which I understand. And the mouse also involved family
and a lot of old fashions. I had a lot of old passions. I didn't realize how much of a Disney drinker I am. Like, I don't know what's going on there, but they make a cocktail and I take it.
So we had a good laugh at home. So while Patrick O'Dowd was cruising and traveling, my birthday happens. And
yes, it did.
Patrick O'Dowd sends me a picture raising a glass for my birthday, which is a wonderful thing to do. Like, here's to you, whatever. But I had seen him post that picture on Facebook days before. Same exact picture. And I'm like,
I'm lazy.
You posted the fucking picture already. Like, at least take two and sit on one. But I'm like, yeah, the wife got a good kick out of that too. So I think Sue Young, man. I might have even told Sue Young about that.
Isn't that the picture you posted the other day? Or does it just look the same? And I replied, and just don't have any other good booze photos yet. Like, I was proud of that booze photo. I liked
obviously.
That booze photo.
I get it.
I forget. I think I posted it in one of, like, our group chats or something. Oh, yeah, I did post it on Facebook.
You may have posted in a group chat, but you know me and Twitter, so.
I did a thing. I did whatever. I drank several other versions of. I had smoked old fashions. Dude, I had the best spicy margaritas
I've
ever had in my life on this cruise ship.
On the cruise?
Gladwin, the bartender, the man who ran the Skyline Lounge on the cruise ship, he had this just big thing of mezcal that was steeped with fucking jalapenos. And he literally said, it just stays like this until the jar is empty. So it just gets spicier until it's empty, and then I start it all over again. And so it was delightful. It got the tahini rim. So, chef's kiss. So many spices.
There you go. I'm glad that you got to do that. I'm glad that you enjoyed that.
I'm glad you got to put on a show with a great friend of the show.
Who wrestled twice. Now, let me explain that. All right. This is the show where we can pull the curtain back, because the funny thing about wrestling is we have producers and we have people and we have specific producers or agents for our Rumble. Right. And so I send it to them a couple weeks ahead of time. Oh. Right. I send it to them a couple weeks, probably not him, but I send it to them a couple weeks ahead of time so they can book the Rumble, or not book the Rumble, but agent the Rumble. And I get this message. Who is Susan? And I just have to laugh. And I'm like, okay, so Sue Young, I mean, I didn't have access either when this is happening, but like Sue Young has a couple characters. One of them is an Asian Karen gimmick. She plays Susan, blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay. LOL. But here's the thing about that. When we had our production meeting, we have production meetings now. I told everybody in the production meeting, because Sue Young had a signing that day with 3D Sports Cards and Collectibles, our wonderful sponsor, which she does as the Undead Bride. She then comes to the building. She had a handler. I assigned her a handler this day. The handler was loving life. It was Derek Montilla. So I assigned her a handler. And they come to the building. She then has to remove all of the Undead Bride getup, all of the paint, all of the stuff she sprays on her body, like everything, so she could be Susan for the Rumble, because the Rumble was the opener that night, since we had a title versus title match in the main event. Her title women's championship match was a semi-main. We don't call it semi-main, but it was second to last match. So she takes everything off so she can be Susan, and then puts it all back on again so she can be the Undead Bride for the title match. And the fun thing about Susan coming out is, again, when she was on Impact Wrestling, the viewership was not even what it is now. And so she gets announced as Susan, and there's a little bit of a reaction from the people who know. Then she gets in the ring, and there's a bigger reaction because now people see her. But still at that point, maybe 35% of the crowd knew who that was. There's some people who still didn't know. Like, we posted about her as Susan, and people are like messaging me, was that like ? So there's a really funny story about when she first debuted as Susan in Impact Wrestling, how people backstage thought somebody from management was in the talent meeting, like the talent only meeting, and was like, why is this person here? And they're like, that's Sue Young. So yeah, it's But she did all that for us, so very appreciative. That was Susan's first appearance in 2 years, I found out. So very cool of her to do that. She offered and was happy to do it because, you know, we're all friends here. So that worked out really well, and extremely excited about Susan and Sue Young and her appearance. And now in May, we got Hornswoggle. So, yeah, it's the truck rolls on.
It's still in the month of March, right?
It's still the month of March, yes.
Yeah, so you have an Evil Leprechaun in the month of March.
March 10th. Well, the event's in May, so no. But
oh, May.
Okay. Yeah, so unfortunately not. But it's great for March, but yeah, we got an Evil Leprechaun. And I'm super excited about what we're doing with said Leprechaun. It hasn't been announced yet, so I can't talk about it here. But great use of said Leprechaun. I'm very very, very excited to have Hornswoggle. I'm very, very lucky.
Well, and it's not, you don't say Hornswoggle though, right? Isn't it just Swoggle?
Swoggle, but it sure says Hornswoggle on a lot of the marketing materials. So, yeah.
I mean, I just don't want you to get sued, you know?
If it happens, it happens. I mean, I looked around at like other things that were posted that he shared, and I'd say about 50% of his bookings are advertised as Hornswoggle. So I feel like we're okay. If not, then it is what it is. But if you want to come see Hornswoggle on May the 9th, go to IZWTix.com and pick up your tickets for IZW Wanted Dead or Alive 2. So May 9th, Bullshooters, Phoenix, Arizona. We would love to see you there. You're probably going to Disney World. So no,
I'm moving students out.
I was
going to
say unfortunately, two of my four main events per year fall over terrible times for you. So
right.
All right. So anyway, wrestling. Right. Let's talk about some wrestling. Why the fuck not?
Sure.
Right? It is WrestleMania season.
I watched one pay per view.
It's supposed to be. I mean, pay per views nowadays, like, who the hell knows? But there's some things I want to talk about.
Premium live event.
And some things. Yeah, I saw an indie recently call one of their shows a premium event, and I just shook my head because, as goes the WWE, so does everybody else. There have been some opinions shared, and I want to talk about said opinions. Patrick Gaudette has no idea about any of these opinions, and that's fine. That makes it more entertaining. So let's talk some people's opinions.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO. Oh, you're mad, bro. Why you even care if I call your mama ho? Oh, you're mad, bro. When I do your sister, I keep it on the low. Oh, you're mad, bro. Look at that face. You're about to explode. It's kind of funny making you piss. You may have seen some of these. You may not have seen some of these.
There's three that I want to talk about today. Two come courtesy of Bully Ray. One, I think, is just an internet rumor report that I want to talk about as well. So Patrick Goodell does not know any of these. We will talk about them and get some perspective. So the first one, the headline reads as such: Bully Ray urges WWE management to let current talent rock the boat like DX did. Now, this whole article doesn't even talk about that till you get to the very end, but it kind of talks about the drawback of the calculated nature of WWE storytelling, which has been for a while. So I'll skip straight to kind of some of the point, right? Where is my next Austin 316 moment coming from? Steve Austin went out there and just said Austin 316. Where is that next organic thing? The next organic character, that next organic tagline, where is that coming from? That's what to me is missing. The raw organic moments that happen when talent have the opportunity to go in the middle of the ring and be talented when they have just enough leeway to get something over on their own. And then obviously he says more, right? He says more than that, but that's kind of the big gist. You know, he talks about the what's up spot, their get the table spot, how like none of those were ever things that they asked for, and those things got over. Now, let's be honest. The Dudley stay in the what's up spot and get the tables, that is not Austin 316. Like no. That did not change an entire generation of wrestling.
No.
But so I'm torn between he has a point and like everything changes over time. Like it's just hard.
I think here's the thing is the things that people do organically that get over aren't main event sort of stuff right now. Like I haven't seen that, but I would argue that, for example, El Grande Americano isn't El Grande Americano and the El Grande Americano original versus, you know, the seven different versions that exist. Like, I don't know that that's not necessarily just a product of the ladder that's been put in front of them to follow in progressing a story. Right.
Well, I mean, the whole reason that we had the new El Grande Americano was because the original got hurt.
The injury.
So, right.
But even so, but what I'm saying is, you know, you get the others. And we used to say this about right now, everybody's favorite punching bag in the wrestling community in the IWC, Cody Rhodes.
Right. Like
you still get a thing and it's up to that person to take that thing and make it, you know, and they'll still make it special, even if it's within the booking of the WWE. Like Stardust should never have worked at all.
Right.
It just should never have worked
because of the performer.
Dashing Cody Rhodes should have never worked. And yet it did. And I see that all the time with Ludwig Kaiser and the stuff that he does. Mm-hmm. You know, you put him in a mask and he's El Grande Americano Part 2, and people like him more in Mexico than El Grande Americano.
Which is great. Like, you know, that's one of the things that I love about the El Grande. And the whole thing was because of injury, and then the original comes back. The thing about the original is like, he's not even hiding anything. Like the original is obviously. It's the whole, you know, the machines, it's everything. The new El Grande Americano, or just El Grande Americano, like, he's not overtly Ludwig Kaiser. And Ryo and Bravo are not overtly Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, but the original El Grande Americano was overtly Chad Gable and very, very fun and interesting. But what I do love is the fact that because when new El Grande Americano went to Mexico and got over, because of course it would, then when the original came back, he was decidedly heel. But it's a fun mid-card storyline, in my opinion. In that case, I don't think it's leeway. I think it's wrestlers taking what they're given and making it amazing. Sure. And there's a difference between that and Austin 316 and whatever. But I will also say, for every Austin 316, there were probably 100 things that happened at that point that sucked and never got over. And it's like you said, whenever somebody watches an Attitude Era Raw, you realize the shit was not as good as we thought it was.
And audiences on the whole, at least WWE audiences on the whole, aren't interested in that. I don't think they're interested in that. And I think that that's the thing that has been really difficult for old head wrestling fans. And this is not a criticism on Bully Ray, by the way.
I think it is, and I think it should be.
But this idea that, and it is because of where we placed, and we were in with it too, with the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Wars and the cultural touchstone and what that audience was ready for then versus who the audience is now. Like, it wouldn't work. Like, if Austin was here now and doing his Austin thing, I'm not saying it wouldn't get over. I won't say that. But I do wonder how much audiences would embrace
Austin. I think they would, because
I just don't know that it would have been stratospheric the way that it is now.
I think it would have. And I think it would have because the whole reason Austin really hit the sights that he hit was because he was beating up his boss.
Sure.
And that still resonates today with people. And the whole reason The Rock worked was because he was also kind of anti-authority in a lot of ways. And The Rock, again, people were booing him and chanting "Die Rocky Die," and he talked about it in a promo, and next thing you know, he's a mega superstar. It does happen. Look at LA Knight. Like, LA Knight was never supposed to happen, and that's why they struggle to fit him in. Like, I look at their build for WrestleMania now, and I don't know where LA Knight's gonna fit in. I'm sure he'll fit in somewhere. But the WWE is very more stringent and strict now on their plans and a lot less flexible. And the thing is, when they are flexible, people get mad about that too. We talked about this on the show briefly last year, and I brought it up, and then it finally came out recently while you were on your vacation, and I wanted to be like, see, but I wasn't posting on social media, so I don't care. Drew McIntyre recently came out and revealed that he was supposed to wrestle John Cena at Clash in Paris or whatever, and instead, because the fan response to Cena posting about AJ Styles, it got switched to AJ Styles. And I said that all along because Drew McIntyre was on the original poster.
Right.
And was nowhere on the card when it finally came to fruition. Not that that never happens, but I figured the way things were headed, it was going to be Drew versus Cena, and then, of course, it became AJ. Now, I'm not complaining because AJ ends up retiring, and people love that match, and it was like most people's favorite match of the entire John Cena retirement tour. So I'm not complaining about that whatsoever. We can talk about Drew McIntyre later or even another show, another episode, because Drew is this whole topic unto himself, and in a good way at this point. But where I have to correct myself, and I did kind of halfway through when you're talking about the criticism of Bully Ray, I have to remind myself, Bully Ray is saying these comments on Busted Open.
Right.
Only the hardest of hardcore fans are going to listen to Busted Open. So he's not talking to the general WWE audience.
He's talking to the choir
hates
the WWE product.
Right. And he doesn't hate the WWE product and still praises it like crazy. But that doesn't get the headlines. And so that's where we are at. But But I do think there's some of that element. And again, you see that element in NXT. Like NXT, there's a little more leeway because it's less prescribed. But then I remember Bruce Pritchard talking several years ago on his podcast about why that sort of is these days. And it came up with the topic of scripting promos. Back in the Attitude Era, the WWE didn't have all the sponsorships that they had. They were still living. Right. They were still paying less for TV than they were paying wrestlers to wrestle on house shows. House shows were still the major provider for WWE back then. You still went to the house show to see what they were building on TV. Nowadays, the money comes from different places. And so you can't risk some people saying some things that they right. might have said before. Like, I remember watching last week's Raw with Roman Reigns and CM Punk, and I felt like CM Punk thought he was cute for saying bullshit twice. Like, it's like, who cares? Like,
well, and what's funny is, out of that promo, that's not what anybody walked away with. Like,
no.
We're talking about the debt.
Exactly, which that'll come up later in the show, too. But the Bully Ray thing is very interesting to me because of the sentiment that was shared, and then I have to remind myself the audience that he is talking to, because it is a very specific audience that's involved. Well, but then Bully Ray said something else that came out today, which is Bully Ray's revealing the problem that he had with the Usos segment with CM Punk. Now, if you haven't seen Raw, the Usos gave CM Punk a hard time for talking about the dead. And Punk, of course, uses that against them, like your cousin sent you to do his dirty work or whatever. And Bully Ray's criticism was, first of all, he rewrites part of the Usos promo. And he rewrites it as Bully Ray would say it.
Right.
He's like, I would have turned around and said, choose your words very carefully from here, because you verbally buried my uncle in front of my cousin last week, and now you're going to start off by talking shit about my brother. They don't talk like that. So it's Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso are hotheads. That's who they are as characters, and maybe they're in real life. Who knows? So they should fly off the handle about what happened. And then he thought that Punk should have been afraid. Like, there should have been fear in Punk because of what was going on. And that makes me want to ask, like, again, have you been watching since CM Punk returned? Like, he is almost fearless to a fault in his character. Like, he wrestles and pushes yeah. things in a way that he realistically shouldn't be able to back up, but he's always been that, like, you know, that's always been his character. And he's always, ever since he sat on a stage and cut a promo, like, all the things that he's done have been,
yeah, we're not chicken shitting this character.
No, not at all. And I saw a post on Facebook and was like, wait, who am I supposed to cheer for and who am I supposed to boo in the Usos CM Punk thing? Like, who is Punk the heel? Because it feels like the heel, and the Usos just sticking for their family, Philly baby faces, but they sucker punched him, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
just cheer for who you want to cheer for.
We're still stuck in this baby face heel dynamic when
right.
it's not always applicable.
Right. There are those that are clearly baby faces and heel. There's always yes. been tweeners, by the way. It's just
there was no internet to complain more about. Of them. Yeah,
right. Because I would even argue, you know, Roddy Piper, once we got out of the later 80s, like he was not like, once you got past like WrestleMania 2,
yeah,
you know, when he did his first retirement, like all of a sudden you just didn't know where he was coming from, and he would
right.
go after anybody.
He was crazy old man by that point already.
That's why you get What the Hell Use the Bell in WrestleMania, mm-hmm. what, 8? Is that what it was? Was 8 What the Hell Use the Bell? When he faced Hart, or was it 7?
Hart was 8. Yeah. Hart was 8.
Yeah. There was just maybe one or two guys that were like that.
Right.
And what we have now is we do have a spectrum. You know,
of course.
LA Knight, you just talked about LA Knight. Like, his shtick works either way.
It does.
It just does. The Usos, like you said, they're hotheads. They're going after, you know, they're defending their family in the only right. way that they know how. CM Punk is always, and I still don't like Phil, by the way. I don't. Can't stand the guy. Don't really care about his character. But I also can't deny his persona and how people gravitate to it. So
right.
enjoy it. But that is not a straight up good guy or a straight up bad guy. And it's just not what we see anymore. There's very few. Drew McIntyre is one.
Yeah, he's great at it too.
He is a heel. He looks the most comfortable when he's just always an asshole. Period. And when they try to make him a likable asshole, he looks like he's trying too hard. So just let him be the bad guy.
Yeah, so let him be the bad guy. I'll be honest with you.
Let him lose in a month and a half and be okay with it.
You know who's the only person, in my opinion? Okay, maybe Kevin Owens as well. But the only, and if Sami Zayn were to turn heel, so there are several. I think there's no one better.
No, there's five. No, there's 17. No,
there's no one better at being, at this day and age, there's no one better at being a babyface and a heel than Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Like, and he's so good at it that people still sung his song even when he was a heel. Like, they continue to sing. They're singing it now, despite the fact that he's this, like, you know, vigilante character again. And you know, people are complaining about things and whatever. That the whole mask thing will die down soon anyway. But it's after WrestleMania, he's going to go back to people singing and whatever. I don't
understand fans, because they complain about characters being stale or people doing the same thing over and over again. And sure, maybe this isn't the most unique or creative thing on the planet. And yet, it's not what we've been seeing Seth Rollins do.
No.
Like, it's a different story for him.
It's a
different place for him.
He'll go back to being the visionary and the revolutionary. He'll go back to all that. That's like his forever character anyway, but what he's doing now is entertaining, and I enjoy it. He's really good at playing both sides.
For the record, the masked shell game thing looked silly.
Of course.
But I wasn't mad at it.
Wasn't it supposed to be silly though? Because it's supposed to confuse the heels. And in a silly way, like them running around, you know, when the first guy got unmasked and nobody knew who the hell it was, you remember Aces and Eights?
Yeah.
Like, when the first Aces and Eights member got unmasked, it was like a random wrestler. And everybody, who the fuck is that?
Yeah, like, who's that guy?
And it was Alex Silver, not Alex Silver, Alex somebody. He'd been on a guest of our program, at, you know, before then. But he was just an East Coast indie guy. Who I think they killed off. Because TNA had been killing people off for decades.
People died in the Aces and Eights storyline.
They sure did. And TNA loves killing people off. And then bringing them back from the dead like Eric Young. But that was very well done. So I'm not complaining. But that whole thing, and remember, like, they were building to Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania until the injury happened, and to vacate the title, all of that too. So who knows what they would have done with CM Punk and anybody else. One of the complaints that I've seen about WrestleMania, not complaints but concerns, is that right now, both main events, and that's another issue with me, because both main events are for the men's heavyweight championships, are babyface versus babyface.
Yep.
But they're not babyface versus babyface. They're major star versus major star. They're big fight feel matches. Like, you don't need the babyface heel dynamic for CM Punk versus Roman Reigns, and you don't need it for Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton.
Yeah. What do you think, and maybe you were saving this for later.
What do you think
about the whole way that we got to Cody and Randy? I think there were other ways to do it. I didn't particularly love the transitional champion thing.
Right.
Just because for me it felt too clunky, if that makes sense. I understand the story that they told, that, you know, we had Drew doing everything he could to prevent Cody from ever being able to challenge him again, and then Nick Aldis having enough, and so walking back on his promise after Drew walked back on his, you know, word to not interfere. But it just felt like an extra hoop that I guess we fill time in WrestleMania season to do.
Right.
But it did not work for me. As the best way, or the what I would think would be the most efficient way to do it. I did love Randy taking advantage of Cody
right
being distracted in the chamber. I loved that. Of course, I loved that.
Like that's what Cody. That's what Randy should do.
Then when that happened, and it was like, man, they're gonna. And you see the title match coming. I'm like, well, dang, because I would have preferred Randy versus Drew, even though there's really nothing much between them at that time, other than Randy wanting his opportunity.
But you don't need nothing between them at the time. Like there was nothing between Punk and Reigns until Reigns won the Rumble. Right.
Superstar versus Superstar.
I mean, there had been there from the WrestleMania prior because Punk stole the Wise Man, but then it didn't matter because Rollins stole the Wise Man from everybody and bounced around like he does, or the Wise Man bounced around like he does. But to answer your question, there are a couple things that I've read and seen that do strike with me, and I'll explain why. And I believe them. And I believe them because they're plausible. And I don't even know who reported them because I just don't care anymore. It was reported that Cody and Drew only found out the plans like a week, like the week of, and I don't believe that. But what I read was that Drew won the title when he did, because he won it on a random SmackDown beginning of the year, so that Cody could be in the Rumble and Cody could be in the Chamber because they needed Cody to be in those matches from a marketing perspective. Granted, Cody could have defended the title, whatever, but they wanted Cody in the Rumble. They wanted Cody in the Chamber, and that's fine. And if that's the case, I believe Drew probably knew before he won the title when he was going to lose it and what the plan was. Now, is Drew going to tell us that? No. Daniel Bryan Danielson still tells everybody that the fans created the main event of WrestleMania 30, and it's 12 years ago. So, you know, it's literally half of his book. Like, of course he's going to tell you that. But so I'm okay with it, how they got there, because it makes sense. Again, like that you win the Chamber, whatever, and then Orton won the Chamber. And sometimes they do change a title between Chamber and Mania here or there. And that's what they did here. My issue is simple, and my issue is part of what I would complain about with modern-day WWE booking, if I care enough to complain about modern-day WWE booking. And it's something. It's because when people ask, like, why did Roddy Piper... What is the answer, Patrick O'Dowd, when everybody says, why was Roddy Piper never world champion?
Because he didn't need to be champion.
Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes doesn't need the belt.
Right.
But it has the belt.
Sure.
Now,
Mean more.
Right. You know, Drew McIntyre versus Jacob Fatu would mean more with the title.
Right.
And it would be a bigger moment for Jacob Fatu. Instead, we get Orton versus Cody Rhodes. Now, Orton versus Cody Rhodes, for me, only works as a title match under one condition and one condition only. And that's Orton winning. Because, and that gets him to 15. And Orton even said on the Pat McAfee show when he was on there promoting Elimination Chamber, ain't nobody passing 17 is what Orton said. Like, he's like, ain't nobody passing 17. Everybody knows that. Love you, John, but nobody's passing 17. Like they just know. Now somebody will someday, but they're not going to pass it anytime soon. And again, I was the one who thought Randy Orton should have broken the streak. I was the one who thought Randy Orton should have broke Flair's reign. Like Orton to me is the guy who can benefit more from the accolades, but now he's at the point where it doesn't matter. I still think Orton should win the title at WrestleMania and get to 15 and maybe get to 17 and not pass 17, or maybe he gets to 16. I don't know. He's about to pass Triple H if he gets to 15. So, and he deserves it. But so I'm fine with it because it's how they got there makes sense. They used the storytelling devices they did. I just don't feel like it was necessary. It also felt for a minute there like they were actually building to Drew McIntyre versus Nick Aldis, which they still could be, which I would love to see. Or maybe it'll be Drew McIntyre and somebody versus Nick Aldis and Jacob Fatu, which I could see as well. What I would love is them to find a way to put Drew McIntyre and a partner versus Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce. That to me would be fun.
Oh, that'd be adorable.
Right. The Adam Pearce, Nick Aldis combo photo op just sold out because Adam Pearce posted about it. The individual photo ops for Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce have not sold out, but the combo one with both of them sold out. And they were together more on recent episodes of television. So I would love to see that just because I think it would be fun for both of them to get their WrestleMania moment. Adam's
busy dealing with his Becky Lynch problem.
Right. Exactly.
My favorite social media angle.
She is funny. She is very funny. She's doing a great job with it. organically, by the way, just to go back to other other things.
The Danhausen thing was funny.
I was about to say, like, I wanted to touch on Danhausen, so we'll touch on Danhausen in a minute. Not in that way, but I want to talk about Danhausen. So that's kind of where I'm at with the Cody and Drew thing that you're talking about. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back with the second half of the show. Maybe not quite half, because we're probably further than halfway through, but you know.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Oh, you mad bro? Why you even care if I call your mama ho? Oh, you mad bro? When I do your sister, I keep it on the low.
You just made the list!
So you brought up Danhausen, and Danhausen was one of the topics that I would love to have a chance to talk about this week on the show, because... as most people know, Danhausen made, most people, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, he made his debut at the Elimination Chamber. He was the answer to what's in the box, right? Which is a great WWE thing. What's in the box? The question you texted me, we're going to save that. It might be its own episode.
Okay.
It'd be a great question answer between now and WrestleMania. But Danhausen comes out of the box and Chicago boos. And everyone's like, well, the character's dead on arrival, blah, 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 because they hate him. They didn't hate him. They hated that he wasn't Chris Jericho.
Right.
They weren't booing that it was Danhausen. They were booing that it wasn't Chris Jericho. We are now less than 2 weeks into Danhausen's run in WWE, and fans are already finishing his sentences.
How's his merch sales, Greg?
I'm sure. I haven't even looked. I'm sure they're great.
One and two.
Yes. He is perfect for WWE. I've never been a Danhausen fan until now. He fits perfectly with what he's doing. He's cutting promos during commercials. Again, DJ from My Love always says, Nanas and Kids. Like, that's who wrestling is for. That's who Danhausen is for.
I'm actually actively looking for a tweet that he put out about Danhausen. So keep going. I'll find it.
He now, in a backstage segment, will say, you are, and the entire crowd will say, cursed. And most of that crowd never saw him before Elimination Chamber. That's how quickly he got over, and organically he got over. I don't think WWE thought people were going to be chanting, you are cursed with him by this point.
Right.
He is perfect for WWE. Like, there is not a better fit. Danhausen and R-Truth being in this company are both perfect fits. Like, Danhausen is exactly where he should be.
I'm going to paraphrase what DJ said, because I can't find the tweet, but we kind of went back and forth about it when it happened.
Okay.
And you said it. You laid it out there. The WWE has done nothing to hint that Chris Jericho is coming back.
Adam Pearce made one comment about breaking walls down. He did do that.
Okay. So since this rumor started, which how long ago was that, Greg?
Oh, months ago.
When did this start? We are months ago. We have one offhanded comment by Adam Pearce that I don't even remember when he made, because you have to remind me that he made it.
Right, of course.
So I get that there is this weird warped expectation, and sure, I expect it too. But because it just feels like that's going to happen whenever it happens.
Right.
But with this box and this crate and everything that's been leading up to this, there's been not a peep, nary a peep, and hardly a rumor. And so I'm sorry that you created the canon in your head of what you thought was going to come out of that crate / coffin at Elimination Chamber. And then when it wasn't the damn near 60-year-old wrestler that you thought it was going to be, you decided to shit on it as an internet wrestling community and fit. Now, that's not everything DJ said, but DJ just DJ basically said you worked yourself into a shoot and then, you know, were mad about it when Danhausen came. And it was funny because I remember I was sitting there watching. I was like, oh, they're opening the – I think I had the show muted because it's basketball season. So I'm usually watching a basketball game on the big TV. So I'm like, oh, they're opening the crate. I wonder who it'll be. And it opens it up. And if you'd been paying attention to Danhausen's social media accounts, you might have been able to figure it out because he had posted a photo of himself breaking free of some chains and doing some stuff, which probably had something to do with his AEW time.
Well, he also posted on social media that he was not there in Chicago, that he was at home.
Right.
So which people were like, well, it's obviously Jericho. And I remember posting, you don't think Danhausen would tell you he's one place because he's actually another to trick you? Like,
right.
Like, that's what happens.
Yeah, again, know what industry you're following. He pops out of the coffin with, you know, and the dancers come out, and I'm like, huh, oh, it's Danhausen. He'll work.
Of course he will.
And so he comes out working, and I didn't hear the crowd booing because I had it was muted on my laptop.
Right.
And then I start reading this, and, you know, you got Meltzer calling him the gobbledygooker and all these people, like, shitting all over it in the immediate. And those same people right now that aren't, you know, fighting for clicks are hoping that he tags with R-Truth.
Right.
And be like, this is going to be so awesome. So you're fickle. To quote Daniel Bryan Danielson, you're fickle.
Well, and these people get it. Like this is, he is not made for the internet fan. He just isn't at all. And never will he be. Like, that's just not who he's for.
And
but
he's
that's who.
Have a wonderful 2 years in the WWE.
Probably more than that. Look how long R-Truth's been there.
Right.
Because the thing about Danhausen is he can disappear for a couple months. And then when he shows up backstage, big pop, and he curses somebody, and the crowd chants, you are cursed. It's just, it's a license to print money. Like, and what's funny is that he was an indie darling. And I think now the fans that are complaining because he's actually better not on the indies. Like,
right.
He was fun on the indies and he was cursing people and whatever, but he actually works better now in WWE. And that's a problem that I think a lot of people have because it's not what they want, right? They realize that it's that garage band that becomes famous and now people are pissed because they never should have been a garage band. Like,
oh, they cut their hair. Cut their hair.
So Danhausen, and good on him for making. Now, somebody claimed that he was making $11 million a year, like Roman Reigns.
No,
like, come on. I think that was a Meltzer thing. I think that was a fake Meltzer report. I don't think that was a real Meltzer report.
I hope so.
But yeah I don't even think. Not even that, Dave's not even that stupid.
I hope nobody's that stupid.
Yeah.
To send that out legitimately.
No, I don't think any. I don't think even Dave would be that dumb. Right. But so I love the Danhausen thing. I think he's perfectly positioned in WWE and I think he'll be there for a long, long time because you can have R-Truth on one show. And now Danhausen has been appearing on both shows and I'm sure at some point he'll settle in and think about, especially on Netflix, like the crossovers you can do with Danhausen, like
it's just going to be fun.
The Svengoolie, like people are like, I don't understand. Like I saw a Gen Xer say they didn't understand the Danhausen character. I'm like, did you not watch television when you were a kid at midnight? Like, that's literally what he was like, the horror movie host guy. Like, that's exactly what he is. Like, it's perfect. So
I will say, in fairness, I was more of a Joe Bob Briggs' drive-in theater guy as opposed to a Svengoolie guy. So, you know.
But
by
still,
the way, Joe Bob, ending your run on Shudder.
There you go.
Later, bro. The career lasted way too long.
Good job. It happens.
Anyway.
I mean, Elvira's still doing stuff. So, like, come on.
Hey, you know what? Good on them.
But so I love the Danhausen thing. I absolutely love Danhausen. I think it's perfect in WWE and better than I thought it would ever go because it is what it is. I want to talk about an internet report that was made. I want to read you because I feel like it's tailor-made for you and me. Okay. Tailor-made for you and me. Now, this was a report from Self-Made Sessions. So, sources, trust me, bro. Nice. Brock Lesnar doesn't want to lose at WrestleMania. And the report goes on to state that Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman both believe that Brock shouldn't lose until his last match, until his retirement. And that it's hard for Triple H because if he books Gunther versus Brock or Obafemi versus Brock, Brock would lose both those matches. Now, I'm not 100% sure Brock would lose to Obafemi, nor do I think that. Here's the thing. If Brock beats Obafemi and then puts him over like he did Cody, shakes his hand, raises his hand, it's the same, in my opinion.
Right.
And then you can do Brock and Oba again, and Oba beats him. Like, right. You don't need that. Like, Oba, again, was also tailor-made for WWE. And he came from, you know, throwing shot put or whatever he did. So it's now people are all thinking that Lesnar's supposed to retire at SummerSlam. I don't believe this for a second. I do not believe that Brock Lesnar's all accounts are that Brock is like actually very easy to work with. And
right.
This Brock, not the original Brock, but this Brock. Now it's not an Ultimate Warrior thing. I don't think there's a different Brock Lesnar, but like all reports are that he's great to work with.
Right, because it's 20 years later.
Yeah. And he's like, making tons of money to hardly ever appear.
Right. Like, he gets to come in, be all smiley. Sure, I'll do what you need me to do. And you don't... I don't know. I just don't think he's in the plans right now.
I just don't...
Like, that's my thing, is I don't think that's what's happening right now. It's not that he doesn't...
Right. Yeah, I don't think Brock cares. I really don't.
No.
Brock's legacy is cemented. Like, he's good.
Well, I do this just, again, when we talk about the circus of what was versus what is, if you want the circus of what was, follow along with what goes on in AEW. Because the circus of what is not the 90s. It's not like, no. Yes, there are people who there is talent who have had the ability in this current era of the WWE, you know, during their retirement tour to make plans change, brother. But like,
right.
The WWE doesn't tolerate that shit. There's a reason that they don't miss Mercedes Moné. Like, there's a reason they don't miss her at all. And for all her talent, which I still question, like they don't need her headache, and the audience doesn't need her headache. Like, they just don't want that. And if you want that drama and you want those stories, just go follow AEW, where Tony Khan will let people do what they want.
And even that is kind of subsided, to be perfectly honest with you.
Right.
Like, even sure. Those, like, I feel like a lot of that stuff's calmed
down. He's just bringing up the worst version of the Bullet Club and making it sound like a big deal.
And that's sad, too, because I like the War Dogs. I think the War Dogs could be good, but people got to not compare them to the Bullet Club. Like, that's just, that's the whole problem
that's always going to be. Doing.
Of course that's what they're going
to
do.
Anyway.
Look
at me pulling that out.
I know, right?
And like, I don't even watch the front. Look at you. You're proud of me a little bit.
Of course I am. You talk about Bullet Club and the War Dogs? Like, come on. Like... Where'd you hear that? No, I know it's, but I just, yeah, I shouldn't say we've come to the point where people are taking this shit too seriously, because they always do. It's just the internet being the internet. And that's the difference. We've talked about it so many times and it comes up before. I really wish the internet was around during the Attitude Era. Like, I could only imagine how terrible the Attitude Era would be looked upon had the internet been there to complain about. Because could you imagine the internet dealing with gold dust? I'm talking about gold dust in a diaper, gold dust. Like,
yeah, when gold dust wasn't even really gold anymore. Like, it was just Dustin doing anything he could to continue to be on television and going as far crazy as he could. With some ridiculous, I remember gold dust in a diaper. I remember just, there's so many things that if you like, and you can go back and watch them, folks, hop on Netflix. I do believe old Raws are on Netflix. You can go back and relive those times. And there's some good stuff that is fun and worth watching.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of really bad stuff that I watch now and I'm like, why did I pop for this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? And it also, I remind myself, that was 20 years ago. You know, that was, now it was more than 20 years.
More than 20 years ago. It's almost 30 years ago. Like,
right.
To when this shit started. Yeah. No, for everybody, because they didn't watch it in different years. But yeah.
And I do, I would be interested to know how many people, if they showed like a 20 something year old wrestling fan today, that, you know, the an entire 3 hour episode of Raw or 2 hour episode of Raw back in those days, what they would glean as quality versus just throwing shit at a wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
And seeing it be viewed as cool. You know, I go back, I can't, like old DX stuff, I don't like it.
No,
I don't like it. Hardly any of it. I did like, I still like the New Age Outlaws when they were first starting.
Right.
You know, I mean, just, but it likes everything else. Like before it got weird. I don't know. It's just, it's tough. It's not the same place. It's not the same wrestling world. It's not the same world in general.
No.
You know, my biggest complaint about the WWE is one that I think you share as well. And it is, you know, any quote unquote premium live event could be, you know, perhaps headlined by a Charlotte, a Bayley, you know, a Rhea Ripley, an Io Sky, an Asuka, you know,
I mean, there's no
women.
There's no reason why Liv Morgan and Stephanie Vaquer could not main event night one of WrestleMania.
No, none whatsoever. Not at all.
And complain all you want. Like, the only times that women have main evented WrestleMania was under Vince McMahon.
Right.
It has never happened under Triple H. Women have main evented far less events under Triple H than they did under Vince McMahon. And I think it's that men built the business, men carry the business thing. But like, that's just now, even in NXT, like women don't main event as frequently as they potentially could. It's very interesting because in a promo last week, JC Jane said on NXT, she should be the main event of Stand and Deliver, which is very interesting. And honestly, if they do that, if they do JC Jane, Zarya and Sol Ruka in a triple threat, which I think is happening on an episode of NXT before Stand and Deliver, that probably that easily could main event versus right. whatever they do with Joe Hendry and Ricky Saints and Ethan Page and whatever they do there. I just feel like the opportunities are there for them to do it. They just don't. And don't give me the, well, those matches aren't big enough for the main event of WrestleMania. You have from the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania to build whatever the hell you want. And if they can't make Liv Morgan and Stephanie Vaquer the main event of one night of WrestleMania, then they shouldn't be doing this.
And I just don't buy that. I don't buy that when you see, like, when you talked about Stephanie Vaquer back after I attended Raw. I remember that because she made an appearance and she was probably the, if not the most over person that showed up that night, the second most over person behind Penta. Like,
and some guy named John Cena, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's hard to count that.
Right. One, I get that.
Really, honestly, like he opened the show, people went nuts. He left. So you can't tell me that a crowd isn't going to get behind a match where there are characters that they respond to and wrestlers that they respond to on the daily when they show up on your regular show and your television set. Like that, just I'm returning that theory. I don't buy that. I want my receipt. Here's my receipt. Give me my money back because you are full of shit and I'm not buying it.
So, well, and not only that, you can't make the women main eventers unless you put the women in the main events.
In main events, right? Like, you can't, your folks don't look at someone as a main eventer if they're never in a main event.
Exactly. And that's the theory behind why they bring people. They brought Finn Balor in, immediately put him in he was the first ever Universal Champion. Like, he beat Roman Reigns on Raw and then beat Seth Rollins or something. Now he got hurt, whatever. He is still a bankable star 10 years later and just turned babyface on Raw.
And it's funny that you just mentioned that for Finn Balor, because I do the Damian Priest tweet after he got turned on, by the way, also great. I don't know if anybody screenshotted that with you, but it was like, sucks, doesn't it? It was like,
I think someone did share that. Yeah.
It's like, sucks, doesn't it? But I also hope this means good things for Finn Balor. I think his place in Judgment Day had clearly was done. 4 years is a hell of a run.
That's an example of what I was talking about with Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton. Finn Balor versus Dominic Mysterio didn't need the Intercontinental Championship. So Penta got to win the Intercontinental Championship. But that's okay with WWE because it's the Intercontinental Championship and not the vaunted, undisputed WWE Championship. So, which is at some point going to be called the Cody Rhodes title. Let me play something, and I want to give just a couple minutes to this topic because I do think that will it's not worthy. It's not too much worth more than that. So let's just play this.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
The notion that you brought up earlier of people now hating on Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that briefly because I do see it. And I do see it out there, and I do see. And it's funny that people are like, oh my God, I thought Cody was so talented. Even WWE could fumble Cody Rhodes. John Cena, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. The formula is there.
Right.
Loved, hated, all-time beloved. That's what happened to Cena. That's Roman Reigns is now shifting into the all-time beloved category. That's what's going to happen to Cody Rhodes. LOL Cody wins. We also had LOL Cena wins. And we probably could have had LOL Roman wins, but we were on the Roman bandwagon before everybody else was. Especially you. You happy?
Thank you.
That's where Cody is going. And which again, kind of Orton had that, but without the love at the beginning. Orton just went from we hate Orton to we love Randy Orton.
We were straight to we hate
Orton. Right.
That damn chin lock.
But that's the formula. If you haven't listened to the Randy Orton interview on the Pat McAfee show, please go listen to it. It is so funny. Orton, or he talks about his injuries. He talks about chin lock, whatever. And it's funny. Orton's like, I shouldn't tell you this, but if you watch the show, you realize I haven't picked a motherfucker up in 20 years. Like I can't. Cause I'm like, it's just so funny to listen to him talk about it. He's like, I haven't picked somebody up in 20 years. Like it's just, I haven't had to. So he talks about his longevity. And he still says 10 more years. It's kind of crazy. I don't think he would do 10 more years, but
he probably looks five. Like such a natural athletic freak though.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, even he talked about like he had to slim down. Like he came back, he was almost 300 pounds, even though he wasn't fat. Like it was just too much for his body to carry on the ring. But Cody is an all timer. Love it or not, he is on his trajectory to be an all timer. And yes, he was handpicked by WWE. It's just like when people talk about nepotism in WWE. That only gets you so far. Look at Curtis Axel.
Yeah. Like, Ricky Steamboat's kid.
Yeah, well, he had injuries, so we don't know. But
I always felt there was something missing there. I don't know.
We didn't see it. I mean, he never made it out of NXT, so who knows? But
yeah.
And maybe it wouldn't have worked out because Steamboat never hit the heights he was supposed to hit either, if you really think about it.
Right. But like Charlotte Flair isn't Charlotte Flair just because she's Ric Flair's kid.
Right. Because look at Ava. Like she left WWE. Like she was like, I'm good.
Right.
Just because you get there because of your family doesn't mean you're going to stay there because of your family. So
now I will agree it doesn't hurt.
Of course not.
Getting you in the door. Like, well, I'll use another example. Who saw Dominic Mysterio being Dominic Mysterio?
I don't even Rey Mysterio didn't see that. Like, go back and look at Dominic when he first started wrestling. Like, he was awkward. He was gangly.
He looked terrified.
It was never going to work.
Right.
And it worked.
And now, where are we?
All it took was Rhea Ripley and the heel turn with the Judgment Day. And then, who would have thought that dropping Rhea Ripley for Liv Morgan would have been better? But it was better for everybody. It was better for Rhea Ripley, better for Dominic Mysterio, better for Liv Morgan. Like,
she's another one that's in that we love her and now we hate her. Mm-hmm. So we will soon love her again.
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley, that is.
I don't feel like they hate her, though. Like, I don't know.
There's some hate out there.
Is there? Okay.
It's
so maybe it'll grow.
Everyone
wants her to beat Jade Cargill, so I think that is a little bit less. But if she were wrestling, like, I don't know, Io Sky again, like, people would complain. But I will say this. They telegraphed her winning the Elimination Chamber by having them drop the tag titles right before. Like, should have dropped the tag titles after.
Classic.
Yeah, like, drop the tag titles the week after. Like, let Jade Cargill cost you the tag titles. Like, it's... But they telegraphed that one. Like, as soon as she dropped tag titles, like, oh, she's winning the chamber. Like, that's obvious now. Cody's on that trajectory. It's funny too, because he used to use the phrase undeniable and I thought it was stupid. No, he's undeniable. Totally is.
Yep.
LOL, Cody wins. I still think the captain, the stupid C on his jacket, I think, oh, that's kind of dumb. But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I think. He's got a neck tattoo. Still there.
The tattoo is my problem. I was like, come on, man.
His own wife didn't like the tattoo. I think Cody regrets the tattoo. Right. So, all right. So I want, like, the other thing you texted me, we could actually talk about it on the show. I think the Cody topic, it's just surface level. That's why it was a good 3-minute warning.
I almost asked it before I texted it to you, but then you went to commercial. So
no, it worked out perfectly. Yes, I think it's better to save it because I think it's a good, even though it's not the time for the topic in terms of where that career is at because of the build to WrestleMania, I think it's a good time to talk about it. Again, we've talked about it before. We'll talk about it in the future. I think it's a great topic to talk about between now and WrestleMania. If you want to go on the Twitter that I've been saying I never go on, you can follow me at GregDeMarco44. Follow Patrick Dowd at Wrestling Realist. It's WrestlingRealist. You can follow the website at ChairShot Media. That's for all things
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
We got articles. We got podcasts. We got so much more. Go out there. Support the crew. They work hard. They do everything that we can. So you love to see it. You love to listen. You'll love it. Just go out there and listen. We got a lot more coming up. We'll do a show next week. The week after, we'll see what I do. When Patrick Dowd won't be available, but he did. He was transparent. We know he's not going to be available. So that's where we are. Otherwise, this is supposed to be the best time of the year as a wrestling fan. So go out there, enjoy it, because that's what it is. And until next time, always use your head.
Awesome!
Come on, man. Don't call it a comeback.